This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. 10 years ago, a guy by the name of JT Nesbitt was one of the top motorcycle designers in the world. His picture was on the cover of magazines. Celebrities were buying his bikes. But in 2005, when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, the company that was building JT's designs, Confederate Motorcycles, was pretty much wiped out. 7 years later, his career still hadn't recovered. He was about to take a job waiting tables when a stranger showed up on his doorstep. So with a story of entrepreneurship, obsession, and opportunity as well, here's Marketplace's David Weinberg.
The stranger was a fan of JT's work. He wanted to see the latest motorcycles that JT had designed. But when he arrived at the shop, JT explained that he hadn't designed a bike in 7 years, and he was broke.
He looks around the shop, and he says, "Man, let's go get a drink. Man, can I buy you a drink?" I said, "Sure."
That's JT. After giving the stranger a tour, they took a walk down Decatur Street to a bar called Molly's.
So he sits me down, and he asked me this question. He said, "What would you do if you could do anything?"
I just honestly wanted to know.
And this is a stranger, Jim Jacoby.
And I think he was momentarily dumbfounded because nobody had asked him that. But strangely, as if it were rehearsed, he had his notebook with him.
I always carry my sketchbook with me, always.
And that prompted him to say, "Well, on your grandmother's eyeballs, I swear that you'll never show anybody anything like this." And he pulled out the sketchbook.
JT and Jim are opposites in many ways. Jim loves technology. He thinks it can be used to better mankind. JT shuns most modern conveniences. He doesn't have a phone that can text. Jim is soft-spoken, an introvert.
And even having a conversation like this is very much outside of what I would find him comfortable.
JT can be blunt and abrasive.
"Dude, that's a stupid question."
But one trait they share is obsessiveness.
"This is the only thing that I think about, and the only thing that I've thought about for the past 8 years.
Jim says he asked to see JT's sketchbook simply out of curiosity. What he saw were the drawings of a bizarre-looking motorcycle. But the more he thought about them, the more he began to see the motorcycle as a solution to a much bigger problem: the decline of industrial design and craftsmanship in America.
It's unacceptable that somebody like JT would be sitting here waiting, unable to do what he's capable of doing. And if we don't capture this in people like JT and many other incredibly talented people who work with their hands first and then transfer things to computer and otherwise, we'll have lost it."
Jim Jacoby is a successful entrepreneur. He started a company in 2001 called Manifest Digital. It builds websites and does social marketing for large corporations like McDonald's. Jim built it from nothing and had 140 employees working for him. But he was starting to have doubts about the life he'd built around his company.
A company that needed to be profit-driven and needed to hit certain numbers and so on. And I was trying to solve for saving the world. Those two things are hard to square.
The meeting with JT pushed him over the edge. He made the decision to quit the company he founded. And then he took his life savings and handed it over to JT so he can build three prototypes of the motorcycle. This motorcycle commission is just the beginning of Jim's plan to revive American craftsmanship.
The goal is to separate, again, the drive for profit from the act of designing.
In other words, to remove the corporate constraints that normally hinder industrial designers. Things like keeping the cost of materials down and designing for mass appeal. One of the reasons JT was on the verge of going back to being a waiter is that he's unwilling to compromise.
"If Jim hadn't shown up, I would be serving you lunch. And that's okay, man. There's honor in that. I'd rather be the guy serving you lunch than a guy who's building a compromised motorcycle for mass consumption."
Jim has not given JT any design restrictions for this motorcycle,
which frees me up to do pure design, pure art.
Together, JT and Jim are trying to create a new type of patronage system. They compare it to the Medicis, the wealthy banking family that gave birth to the Italian Renaissance. They call this system the ADMCI, American Design and Mastercraft Initiative.
I think we're at the beginning now of what could be another renaissance. You have, you know, more money sitting on the sidelines through private equity and venture capital and in just business profits than has ever existed. my goal is to lead through example and inspiration to say, let's believe in great craftsmen first, put that money to work with them, and the byproduct of what they produce will create all kinds of other business opportunities.
We'll get to those other business opportunities in a minute, but to understand them, it'll help to know how the ADMCI is structured. It's made up of three parts. One of them is a nonprofit.
The ADMCI Master Practitioner Foundation.
This nonprofit will apply for grants and, most importantly, seek out wealthy donors or patrons. JT is building three prototypes of the motorcycle. When they are finished, the ADMCI will likely sell them for about $250,000 each. But whoever buys one won't own it outright. They'll be more like stewards of the motorcycle. In the same way an art collector might purchase a painting that has to be on display in public, the motorcycle may be part of a traveling museum exhibit.
Going to art and design museums and to design schools around the country, to corporate centers, and really start to put this message out there.
David Lenk is an industrial design expert. He also designs museum exhibits for a living.
And really what I do is tell stories in 3D.
David thinks the ADMCI could help reverse the decline of industrial design and manufacturing in America.
You can walk through any flea market aisle today, anywhere in the country, and find, you know, a Sunbeam-wearing blender or an Emerson fan or an old Bakelite Zenith radio from the late 40s. And not only do they look good, they probably still work.
For the best electric appliances made, look for the mark of quality.
But things started to change in the 50s.
Harvard MBA grads started fanning out, you know, evangelizing planned obsolescence, and finance suddenly became more important than corporate traditions of design or quality. And, you know, by the mid-60s, it was all gone, and you know, it's just junk.
David believes that if the ADMCI's first commission is a success, if it makes a big enough splash, it could be a model for a new way to fund innovation and design. An alternative to traditional investment models that are profit-driven.
I see a decentralization occurring. I see sort of an anti, and when I mean anti-corporate, I mean structures that are like virtual teams, you know, suppliers that come together to support efforts that will allow individuals with ideas such as J.T. Nesbitt to produce.
And David's involvement in this project happened entirely by chance.
I'm not a drinker. I don't spend a lot of time in bars, and that's exactly where we were introduced.
Nearly 2 years after JT first showed Jim his sketchbook at Molly's, the two of them were back at the same bar in their usual spot when David Lenk happened to sit next to them.
Within, I think, two sentences, we were talking about, you know, French coachwork of the 1930s.
And then JT told David about his motorcycle prototype, which by this point was nearly complete. It was in his shop just a few blocks away.
The conversation ended with an invitation to visit his shop that Saturday. But nothing could have prepared me for, you know, what I saw there.
Tomorrow on Marketplace, we'll air part two of this story. We'll take a trip to JT's shop to get a look at the motorcycle. In New Orleans, I'm David Weinberg for Marketplace.